going to pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have promised to be present with us, and so we ask that you would help us to continue to be present with you. We pray that even if just for a moment you might help us to remove the distractions from the past week or the week ahead so that we would hear your voice, open our hearts and our minds to those things. We ask that your spirit might be our filter so that we would hear those things you would have for us and everything else we might be able to set off to the side. Open your word to us this morning that it might be fresh and new. And allow the words that I speak to not be my own, but yours. Amen. We are starting a new sermon series today entitled Fit Faith. And the premise behind the series over the coming weeks as we travel through Lent into Easter is to be thinking about the ways in which we exercise our faith to maintain its health or to get it to a place of being healthy. I don't know about you. I remember, I don't know how many of you are into the craze of wearing the, activity trackers. You know, you've got the little Fitbits and the thingity-doos and all the other stuff, right? Our phones do it. I actually just learned that a couple weeks ago, that it was like, my phone, does its thing. And so we have all of these ways in which we're trying to track our activity. We're trying to be fit. We're trying to be thinking about. I don't know how many of you made resolutions for 2015 that had something to do with health. How are you doing? All right. So we're looking at this idea of health, of being fit, but we're going to use it and we're going to come at it from kind of looking at a spiritual perspective for our faith. What are we doing? There are ways in which we can exercise our faith to maintain its health and to increase its health. And so over the coming weeks, we're going to look at some different things, ways in which we can practice healthy faith, all right, to keep our faith fit, if you will. So we're going to be looking at things like this morning we're going to be talking about prayer and fasting. We're going to be looking at service. We're going to be looking at study. We're going to be looking at worship. We're going to be looking at celebration. All some different ways over the coming weeks, ways in which we can try to make sure that our faith stays fit. Hey, Gabe, I need you to do some trickery with the slides. The verse that you're going to see, that Matthew passage, I want that to be the second passage that we look at later. So can you go to that James 4, verse 3 verse, that slide there? Can you throw that up there? And then we'll jump back to the first point of the prayer part, okay? Thanks. I like to keep Gabe on his toes up there so he doesn't fall asleep. So if you have your Bibles, I'd invite, if you would, to turn to James chapter 4, verse 3. If you don't have a Bible, we have Bibles that are on the back tables there. They're free for you to take. So just grab one and take it, and it's yours. If you don't have it on your phone or your little e-reader or whatever, we've got some under the chairs. Any of those are yours to have. So take them. I would invite you to bring your Bibles to church. I believe and trust that you'll find it to be a meaningful exercise as we're trying to get our faith to be something that we're engaging. One, because if nothing else, it'll make sure you know that I'm not just making stuff up and you can see it there in the text. The other part is you'll underline stuff, make notes, do whatever, and live in it and own it and kind of allow it to live in you. So James chapter 4, I'm reading from the NIV this morning. James chapter 4, verse 3. James says, when you ask, you do not receive. Some translations say, you do not ask rightly, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And so this morning, we're going to take a second, and we're going to look at prayer, and we're going to look at fasting. Now, the reason that we're looking at them together on the same Sunday as we think about what it means to have fit faith is because they go hand in hand. They are intimately connected. So, and we'll talk about how prayer can be, or how fasting can be sort of an energizer to, or boost your prayer life and the relationship of the two, okay? You can do prayer without fasting. I'm not sure that you can fast without prayer. And we'll kind of spend a little time talking about that. But first I want to focus on prayer, and a couple things about prayer. To pray is to change. Prayer changes you. The more that prayer becomes a habit, an exercise, a discipline, the more it begins to change you. And the change happens from inside out. When James says you don't ask rightly, asking rightly requires that we change. Because you notice that when he says you don't ask and you don't receive, because you ask with wrong motives. So the change has to happen. So to pray, the more that we pray, to pray is to change. It changes our motives. It changes our will. It changes our desires so that then they become more in line with Christ. And so to pray is to change, which then allows us to ask rightly. And so if we're going to be thinking about over this the next couple of weeks in our Lenten journey, what does it mean to have faith that is fit? One of the ways in which we do that is by and through prayer. To ask rightly means that we change, that our prayer begins to think God's thoughts. We say that every Sunday morning we come together and we say and we ask, "Thy will be done." That's a prayer asking for God to change us. Change my will to yours. Conform my will, my desires, my passions to yours. So that we might love the things that he loves, will the things that he wills, and desire the things that he desires. Now, if we want to, and it's important, one part of prayer that's really important is praying for others, right? I mean, I would guess that many of you do that and you do it often. An important aspect of praying God's will for other people is that we ourselves would begin to know, obey, and live in God's will in our own lives. It becomes difficult for us to pray God's will for another when we haven't and we're not living in it ourselves. So part of prayer is also is that journey of knowing and living and being in God's will, which then allows us to then pray for others. Prayer is something we learn. It is it's a process. So that should be hopeful to you, so that if you would go, you know what, I am really terrible at praying. It often surprises me, but it shouldn't. Because we know that one of, if not the top fear for people is public speaking. So anytime we have a study or we're doing a small group or whatever, I try to always give the opportunity for any volunteers that want to open us or close us in prayer. And immediately, can you guess what everyone does? Don't make eye contact. What's that, what's the Greek mythological character that, Medusa, right? It's like I become Medusa. That it's like, don't look at him. So, I hear, as I have conversation with you, that a lot of you are like, I don't really know how to pray. Not just the public speaking part, but also the part like, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. So there's hope in the reminder or the realization that prayer is something that we learn. The disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Which would, to me, suggest that the guys who hung around with Jesus didn't know what they were doing either. And you know what came from that request? Jesus says, here, let me tell you how to pray. Let me give you an example of prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thou. And he goes into the Lord's Prayer. What a great model. So if you're going, I don't know how to pray. Great place to start. Prayer that we say every Sunday morning. Make it a prayer that you live and that you own every day throughout the week. So prayer is something that we learn. It means that we are free to question. We're free to experiment. We're free to fail at prayer. All of that is okay. And in that should be encouragement and hope. So just try. Now, what I think is important to be reminded of as we think about prayer is something that we learn. It's not a valid excuse to say, so therefore I'm not going to pray. You know what? I don't know how to pray, so I'm not going to pray. Jesus says, when you pray, not if you pray. So when you pray, stumble through it. Doesn't mean you have to do it in public, but in the quiet of your own heart as you're driving to work, as you are waiting in line at the grocery store, as you are trying to get your kids to lay down for a nap and you're looking for like that moment of silence or that moment of quiet, whatever, wherever and wherever, however, pray. Prayer is something that we learn. It's also not a fair assumption. You know, when you're here this morning for the first time and you're like, I see that they have Wi-Fi and I can't connect to it, or you're at home and you're trying to watch Netflix and you just get the spinning wheel, or you know, whatever, and you're like, you don't make the assumption that the whole of their internet is broken. You don't go, well, the internet is broken, my Netflix isn't working. No, what you do is, if you're like me, and your kids are sitting there waiting for their show to come on, you're like, ah! And you try to figure out, okay, so I reset this, I try to do, where's the connection that's being broken is on my end, not the whole of the internet. And so I'm trying to figure out, where's my connection not working, and I'm trying to reestablish. So prayer is something where as you learn it, and you go, my prayers aren't being answered. God, I have asked for this thing, for that thing, for this to happen, for that to happen, and I'm not seeing it. Therefore, I assume that prayer is pointless, it doesn't work, and I will not do it. That's a long jump to make, as if the internet somehow has all collapsed because Netflix isn't working. And so instead, spend time learning how to pray. Try different things. Try different places. Try ways in which you can experiment and question and work through prayer. Prayer is listening. There's a guy by the name of Soren Kierkegaard. He said, a man prayed, and at first he thought that prayer was talking. But he became more and more quiet until in the end he realized that prayer is listening. If you want to know, we're going to talk about ways in which prayer changes us. If prayer is something that we learn, then there may be some wisdom in going into prayer with open ears as opposed to an open mouth. James tells us in that same chapter or book that we just read, when he tells us to be slow to speak and quick to listen. Perhaps there may be some wisdom as we look into what does it look like to pray, that we could go in looking first to listen as opposed to speaking. There always is opportunity and time to speak. But God speaks to us in and through prayer. If we really truly believe that prayer is something that changes us, then the change more than likely will come through the voice of God as opposed to my voice to God. And so prayer is listening. And perhaps in the listening, we might also learn something. Prayer is work. Prayer is work. We call them spiritual disciplines because it takes discipline to do them, right? It's an exercise. There's no, you know, no pain, no gain. Does prayer have to be painful? I don't think so. But is it work? Yeah, that's been my experience. And so as we think about prayer as this thing that's going to help our faith to be more fit, then I have to also be reminded that we can't just wait until we feel like praying. Because if I just am just waiting until I feel like praying, then chances are I'm going to pray, maybe 3 times a week. Maybe. And one of those 3 will be like when we come together on Sunday morning. And so part of the exercise of prayer is praying even when we don't feel like praying. And then, lo and behold, we begin to feel like praying. I don't know how many of you have that where you don't really feel like going to work. And then as you get to work and you get into the work, your motivation starts to actually grow to the work. Now, that's not every day, right? For sure. But that's something that can happen, and prayer can be like that. Okay. Gabe, the Matthew. Matthew, turn in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, first book of the New Testament. We find Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. We find this teaching kind of in the middle of what we call a Sermon on the Mount. We're doing a study through that on Thursday nights for 20s to 40-year-olds. If you're interested, jump in. Love to have you. 6:30, childcare is provided. And we're doing a study through this Sermon on the Mount. After we've done it, I think now about 3 weeks, and we've made it through, you know, 7 verses or whatever. So it's having some really great conversation. Would invite you to come and check it out. We find this passage in kind of in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Okay? So Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 18. Jesus is talking. He says, when you fast. When you fast. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting. But only to your Father, who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Now, I have to confess to you that fasting is easily one of the spiritual disciplines that I struggle with the most. It is not the one that I have practiced the most. It has not been the one that I have found to be the most. Maybe I go in with expectations that are like, I expect, excuse me, that fasting is going to change my life. And I don't feel like it has. And so during Lent, I'm trying to do that. I've been writing some stuff. I would invite you, if you want to, welcome to join me. We can share our experiences of it. I'm working on trying to fast each week through Lent, and doing like a Thursday evening after dinner into like a Friday through the day until Friday dinner time. And just trying to be intentional about that and see how God shows up. I think part of it's kind of the work, like we talked about with prayer, it's work. And so trying to have your faith be fit is work. You got to put effort in. You got to try. And I don't like to fast. It's, as I've said, not one that I've found to be successful. Isn't the word I want to use, but you understand what I'm trying to say. And so I'm trying to do it. I invite you to try that with me, and we can share maybe ways in which God shows up and we didn't expect it. I think sometimes we think that fasting as a spiritual discipline. That's what we're talking about this morning. So hear that. This is not the kind of thing when you're going into a procedure tomorrow and they're like, you need to fast for 12 hours before you have your blood drawn or whatever. That is a different thing, okay? We're talking about fasting as we read in Scripture. Jesus say, when you fast, which you notice he said twice, when you fast, not if, but when you fast, that's what we're talking about this morning. Fasting as a spiritual exercise, a way in which it can help us help our faith to be healthy, okay? I think sometimes we see it as this sort of extreme thing. Fasting as a spiritual discipline or a spiritual exercise becomes this kind of extreme thing or practice that, that's not really, I'm not that hardcore. I'm not that, and we kind of set it off to the side as something that's not really for us. Now, what's interesting, if you've ever tried it or you do try it, some of my experience has been in realization that we are bombarded with food. As individuals who live in the United States of America, we are bombarded by and with food. I would say one of the major, maybe only right now, takeaways from my experiences of fasting has been the realization of my relationship with food. What I mean by that is, I don't necessarily think that I'm obsessed with food, but I've come to the realization that I think about food all the time. Not as a like obsession, but as a just in like, I just go through my day and it's always before me. I'm always thinking about what's my next meal going to be. And because we live in the United States of America, I have in the city of Indianapolis, I literally have just about every option there is before me of what I want to eat for my next meal. Yeah, I think I might be feeling sushi tonight. There's one around the corner from my house. You know, I think I'm just going to have a turkey sandwich. I'm fortunate enough to have a refrigerator that has some turkey in it, and I can throw it on some bread. You know, I think I want, and fill in the blank, and it's there. And I found myself that I think about it all the time. I'm either thinking about what my next meal is going to be, what I want it to be, how I'm going to make it, how I'm going to get it. As I'm sitting in my office, I'm like, there should be a snack in front of me right now. Why is there not some sort of snack in front of me as I'm sitting here at my desk? We are bombarded with food. We've been trained to think that if you miss a single meal, you're on the verge of starvation. And we feel it in our stomachs. We're like, oh my gosh, I'm starving. I haven't eaten since, like right now it's 10:54. Oh my gosh, I'm starving. I hadn't eaten since 9:30. And we've become trained to think that way. Maybe there's statistics out there, maybe someone has already said this. I would make the argument that we are nearly as obsessed with food as a culture as we are with sex. And I know that for some people, that's a struggle that they have with food. I know that other people struggle with other things as an addiction or as a vice. But as a culture as a whole, I would suggest that food is up there just as much as it is with sex. Sometimes we use the sex to advertise the food. Or even like, and it become, and then we're just like, I don't even know what to do right now. Historically, fasting has been a discipline that's been practiced by even those outside of the Christian faith. And so we've got to be thinking about, as we're in the season of Lent, what does fasting look like? I'm not telling you, now, Jesus does not make, this is not a command of Jesus. Jesus does not say, therefore, you shall fast. But there's clearly an expectation that Jesus has when he talks about when you fast. So I want to talk about that just really briefly. Fasting for spiritual purposes. To fast without spiritual purpose and focus is not a spiritual exercise. It's a diet or something else. And in most cases, fasting for spiritual purposes has to do with the individual is a private thing. There are times when we may do that as a church family. There may be times when God calls us and leads us as a church family to fast as a family. Because of whatever. We're looking for discernment. We're needing God to lead us, to take us somewhere. Whatever the case might be. We may even have that opportunity soon. Who knows? However God's Spirit may lead us as we prepare to launch as a new church July 1. There may be opportunities that God's leading us to fast as a church family, to say, God, show us what you want us to be and where you want us to go. More often than not, it is an individual thing. One of the things I think that fasting is about, it's about control. About who's in control and what controls us. That was the realization that I think I came to. Not so much that food controls me, but that I think about food way more than I ever realized. And I wouldn't have come to that realization if I tried to stop eating food for a little while. Because when you fast and you go, you know, I'm not going to eat for 12 hours, 24 hours, whatever you do, then immediately you don't have to think or worry about food. You don't have to worry about the next meal because you're not going to eat the next meal. And then you realize that you still think about the next meal. And for me, that was where I went, wow, one of the things about fasting is the realization of what controls us. Whether it's food or something else. Whether we think that we are in control. Fasting helps us to remind us about control. It reveals pride when we think we actually have control. It reveals the things that we bury ourselves under because we don't really want to deal with what's inside. Even good things. Fasting can even reveal the good things that we bury on top of us so we don't have to deal with some of the mess in our lives. Fasting can be a way to help kind of dig us out from those things. It can be about control. Fasting reminds us that God sustains us. Lent is the season that we recognize, that we celebrate, that we remember because of the time that Jesus spent where? In the wilderness doing what? Fasting. And so we are in the season of Lent, and we're looking at Jesus as our model, who went out into the wilderness to fast because he knew what was ahead of him as he started his public ministry. And so fasting reminds us, even Jesus' words during those days in the wilderness, right? When he says, man does not live on bread alone, but on what? But on the words of God. And so we're reminded of the things that really sustain us, that God is truly the one who sustains us. Even down to our meals each day. I mean, if you think about God as the one who sustains us, so even your meal, even the turkey sandwich that I have at home when I go home for lunch, it's through the sustenance of God. Because it's God who provides, which allows me to go to the store and buy the turkey and throw it in my refrigerator. Fasting can be a tool that helps to maintain a healthy balance. It helps remind us that God is the one who is in control and that he is the one who sustains us. And then lastly, the practical side of what fasting might look like for you. When you read through Scripture, the normal means of fasting when Scripture talks about it is abstaining from food and drink, not water. There are times when there is and you can read through times where there's an extreme abstinence from everything, even water, but the norm is food and drink except for water. Okay? If you're thinking about fasting, start small. Just like prayer is a process, is something that we can learn, fasting is an exercise that we can kind of move into, right? Start small. You want to learn how to walk, and you want to learn how to walk well before you decide to run. So if you're like, man, I'm into Lent. Wow, I'm feeling the Spirit do its thing in me and challenging me. I'm going to fast for 7 days. Props to you. Have you ever fasted before? No. You're in trouble. God can work miracles, and so blessings as you. Have you thought maybe you could fast maybe like a meal? 7 days. How about like 7 hours? So work yourself into it. Start small. Learn to walk before you run. And I think the key that I'm trying to figure out and learn too is to be intentional with your time. So if you're going to be on a fast and you're going to fast, a lot of people talk about when you're fasting and you feel what you think are hunger pains, which really aren't, because that's for most of us. There are people in our country, in our neighborhood, in this community who are truly hungry. So please, and this is not just to you, this is to me as well. We have to stop thinking that if we miss lunch, that we are on the verge of starvation. That is just not true. But there are people who live in our community who are truly, truly hungry, who do not have access to food on a regular basis. So there are people who say that when you fast and you feel that little something or other, that it's like, oh, in that moment, you should stop and pray. Yes, that can be a very real, tangible way that you can be a reminder of God sustaining you, all those things. But I also wonder if that while you're fasting, that if we're really intentional with our time, that might not also be a meaningful spiritual exercise. Whether it's time during a meal that you would otherwise spend, or prepping food, or grocery shopping, or whatever the case, or thinking about food, or whatever, that perhaps that time could be spent in intentional prayer, or study, or even maybe relationships. Maybe there's somebody that God has been trying to get you to connect with that you've been like, you know what, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time right now to connect with this person. Perhaps in the season of fasting, the absence of food in your life or mine might actually provide the time needed to make the connection in relationship. But I think whatever it is, if we're gonna fast, we've got to be intentional with our time. Otherwise, what's the point of it? If it's just I'm gonna fast because I forgot to eat breakfast and lunch because I'm so busy. But if there's even in the busyness, if you can find the ways to be intentional about going, okay, how am I going to seek God in and through this? It seems like then it could be a meaningful way to keep our faith fit and healthy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the season of Lent, and we're thankful for the ways in which we trust that you are going to show up and work in our lives, and we pray that you would help us to find ways so that our faith might grow. Lord, for some of us this morning, we're sitting here and we might potentially say, I have no faith at all. I have no relationship with Christ. My faith is not something that I ever even consider or think about. And Lord, I'm excited that they're here this morning, and I pray that your Spirit would guide them and lead them to the realization that a relationship with you is really a meaningful thing. Lord, help us all to be more disciplined, not just in the ways in which we try to help our faith grow, but just in our own lives as we try to be healthy people with healthy relationships. May your Spirit give us strength as we strive to be people who pray, people who fast, people who have a strong relationship with you and a faith that is ever growing. Thanks for a church family that we can grow together in faith, that we can walk beside each other and encourage each other and support each other and challenge each other as we try to become more like you.